Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the guest segment, 1040B. The B's are always guests. And this week, as last week, we have great guests. Dr. Parak should be like Barack. Dr. Parak, P-A-R-A-K-H, is a practicing cardiologist trained at Johns Hopkins who works at Google. But this is a private effort of his to help us use all of the search engines, the symptom checkers, and anything else you use for whether it's Dr. Google or, I should mention, a rival, Dr. Yahoo or Dr. Bing, or even your friends, how to search better. I can tell you that I love Google Scholar. I don't like the Google Medicine as general because it gives me about 20 ads and then a whole bunch of popular misleading websites before I get to real things. But on the other hand, Google Scholar is outstanding, and maybe I'm searching all wrong. So I'm going to find out today from Dr. Parak. You can buy the book on Amazon, B&N, and hopefully at many local bookstores. He changed, actually, in the preface of the book, he talks about how he changed the focus of this book as we got started. And I should, as usual, tell you that all of the guest segments are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. Persona is someplace you can discover vitamins and supplements personalized to your needs. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. Find out whether your diet is adequate, is perfect, and you don't need anything, or whether there's a specific imperfection and you might benefit from magnesium or vitamin D or whatever. And then they'll tell you and they'll be able to get you recommendations right there at mypersona.com, or none if you don't need anything. That's mypersona.com. Dr. Parak, I really am privileged to have you on because searching for health is what so many people do. How many people do you think use the internet for medical advice daily in the United States? We have, what, 230 million or 240 million adults? How many use the internet on a daily basis for medical information?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be here and grateful for the opportunity. You know, the Pew Research Institute did a survey and they updated it recently, but as many as 70 to 80% of respondents say they've searched online for medical information, and it's something that many of us can relate to. So I think it's a very common practice.
And what am I doing wrong? Like when I'm putting in a search term, for example, I tried to find an article on obesity and COVID-19. And when you do that on the general Google, you get a ton of ads first, or at least it seems to me you get a ton of ads first. And way down at the bottom of the home of that first page, you get something useful. And on the other hand, if you go to Google Scholar and search on Google Scholar, you will get some real solid scientific articles. Now, I'm a little crazy in that I look at Google at real articles all the time, and maybe the common people don't. But what am I doing wrong on that general search? Is there a way I can improve that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I love how you frame that, because I think that is exactly part of the reason why we wrote the book, right? The way you search as a physician is fundamentally different from the way the average person searches. You're looking at the outset, you explained, for articles and for authoritative information with nuanced content. And most patients and most people, lay people searching online, don't search like that. And if you think about it, one of the key goals of this book is to change that framework that people use when they search. So doctors, for example, if you had a symptom that you were trying to figure out, you would think of a differential diagnosis. So when you would be searching, you would look for conditions that might be related to the symptom and come up with a list. Most patients would be looking for one answer. And that's because that's how we've been trained to search for other things. So when you search for a restaurant, you're looking for one place to go, or if you're searching for a vacation spot, et cetera, you're looking for one answer. And so, you know, doctors approach these problems in a different framework. And what we've tried to do in the book is to describe some of these frameworks and these insights. And the way I think of the book is really sort of three parts. One part is around this engageable and relatable anecdotes, because searching can be a lonely experience. You're searching, you're getting all this information that's sometimes scary, and you don't really know sort of what to do with it. It can be overwhelming. So we try to put in some anecdotes to normalize the experience, to make you sort of connect with other people that might have had similar experiences. Then we talk about some evidence-based insights. There's a ton of research that's been done around health communication, around health literacy that we try to bring to light. And then finally, we throw in some practical tools that you can use to communicate with your doctor, because even if you find useful information, we think it's critical that you try and collaborate with your doctor to figure out what to do with it. And that requires some skill and some finesse to be able to go into a visit, bring up this information in a useful way, and come up with an outcome that's sort of collaborative and empowering. So that's really sort of the focus and the meat of the book.
So one of the things you talk about in the book is how you changed your focus in writing it from information like I'm asking, how to craft a powerful search string, and you've changed that to how to actually organize a person's health journey. That is, when you have a symptom, what you do about it, when you're got a, if you will, moving from a symptom to a diagnosis, how, what you do when you receive a diagnosis from a doctor, how do you decide on treatment and then medications. So, you know, I obviously am a avid user of some of the search tools. So it was interesting. I was trying to find out if a common medicine named Zetia was associated with muscle pain in the same way statins were, or even remotely like statins, as I had a patient with multiple statin muscle problems or muscle pain who we switched to Zetia, had a very good LDL response, but developed, if you will, muscle pain that was actually even worse than his muscle pain on statin drugs. And I was trying to search for that, and I was also trying to search for, he also was developing constipation, and I was trying to say, is that a side effect of Zetia? And so tell me how I should have done that. How should I have searched for that on the internet? What did I do wrong?
No, sure. Those are great questions. And I think side effects is one of the things that many of us struggle with, right? And I think if you think of, so there's sort of your professional approach, which is you're probably looking for incidents of myopathy and muscle pain, and somebody using Zetia as a cardiologist, I can definitely relate to that. And when you find, for example, a study, you know, that talks about Zetia-associated myopathy and so on, you can quickly correlate, well, this is the incidence that they were reporting, and how does that correlate with my patient, what's the age, and so on and so forth. And that's a fairly sophisticated analysis that you can do almost without thinking about it. Whereas most people will just type in side effects of Zetia, and they'll get a very long laundry list of side effects. And sometimes you can find that even in the handout that they give you. I have no way of sorting through, you know, which of these are the most prevalent, which of these are the least prevalent, which of them are, you know, less prevalent but dangerous, you know, like red flag type symptoms that you have to be absolutely aware of. And again, what we try to do is put in this framework that you already have in your head of, you know, I want to assess the prevalence of this side effect from the drug, but also understand the types of people that get affected by it. Is it elderly? Is it people on polypharmacy versus monotherapy, et cetera? Is it a drug interaction? And that level of sophistication just doesn't exist in the average person. The other thing that you and I have access to, which many people probably don't even know exists, and we talk about some of these resources in the book, are professional resources, you know, so things like UpToDate or DynaMed or some of the formulary type sort of formularies that have drug information. And we have access to those, so we can go beyond sort of the layperson search and you know, actually for a relatively modest fee, some of those available for people who are really interested in digging deeper. And they would have a lot of that nuance that you're talking about. But in order to get there, it does take some level of sophistication to go beyond sort of just knowing that it is a side effect of this drug. And that's the gap that we try to fill.
And I should say that in the book, Searching for Health, under Medications, which is Chapter 6, there's a really nice way of putting these search ideas in, as well as what you should think about before you start a medicine, or what you should think about when you're talking to your physician. So I look at this book really teaches you how to use your physician and the medical team that you work with. And by the way, I think that one of the things that I've always been known, if you will, and been used is the pharmacist seems to me to be one of the most knowledgeable and underused people in the entire healthcare system. So use your pharmacist when you're talking about drugs. But in fact, the book Searching for Health and its website searchingforhealth.org really does teach you how to approach these things, how to get second opinions, what to think about. And there's a very nice post-surgical recovery tracker in here as well. So it does teach you all of these things and what to do. And one of the things that I learned that my patients are doing is they're searching when you refer them to someone, even when it's at the Cleveland Clinic, or, and I assume it's at same thing at Hopkins or Inova in Washington, D.C., the patients are now searching for the background of the physicians and can find biographical information and health grades and other scores for the physician, and are choosing their teams more based on that than, in fact, the referrals, which to me is a very interesting change that I think has occurred over the last 5 years rather than before that. So how should they be using that data? Is that one of the things they should do? And how do you recommend they do that? And we're talking to Dr. K. Parakh, P-A-R-A-K-H, who's a MD, PhD, which means he's got a lot of skill in this field. And he trained at Hopkins, now works at Google, but this is a private endeavor, Searching for Health, the smart way to find information online and put it to use. So how should we do, is that the appropriate way for a patient to go and look up biographical material, or how much of that is accurate even?
No, it's a great point. I think you're absolutely right that in the last, you know, decade or so, we've seen a much greater interest in, as it were, choosing your physician more thoughtfully, and certainly when you go to a specialist or get a second opinion. And we talk a little bit about this in the book in terms of many people go online and look at reviews, but just like you might look at reviews for a product or hotel experience, so on, you can just go by the star rating or by, you know, whatever somebody, one person said. It sort of requires a little bit of digging deeper. So the things that I think reviews can tell you are things like a physician's bedside manner, for example, and if that's important to your sort of situation. And we talk about how, you know, board certifications as well as like training backgrounds give some insight into the quality of some physicians. One of the variables that's closely associated with quality actually turns out to be for surgical procedures is volume. And personal anecdote, when we were choosing where to deliver our child, we picked a center that had 3 times the rate of any other center in the region in terms of deliveries. And my wife actually had a complication, but thankfully, because they were so skilled and had seen so many different types of cases, not just the doctors, but the nurses, the techs, and everyone else, they picked up, you know, the situation early on. So we talk about how some of these characteristics can be informative in choosing a physician. That said, these are not perfect. So many times ratings get thrown off by things like a bad experience with the front desk. And you have to read the reviews to see, is it really the front desk that's being evaluated, or the whole overall experience of the clinic versus the doctor's actual performance? And quite honestly, as you may well know, assessing the quality of a physician from an intellectual perspective when it comes to a diagnostic skill as opposed to surgical skill Well, there's sort of a clear relationship. Did you perform the surgery adequately without complications? Did you come to a difficult diagnosis? Is a tough question to answer. And even hospitals that are trying to rate the quality of their physicians so they can reward higher quality care struggle with trying to find out, you know, exactly how to grade physicians on quality. So what we try and do is we know people are looking for that information. We know there's some information out there in terms of reviews, malpractice claims, et cetera. And we try to put all that information in a context so that it can be, you know, useful in making that decision, but also point out where the flaws are so that you don't overly rely on that for that decision.
You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is the guest of 1040, 1040B. The Bs are always the guest part of the segment. We're talking with Dr. Parakh, P-A-R-A-K-H, who has written a Johns Hopkins Press health book called Searching for Health, The Smart Way to Find Information Online and Put It to Use, a very useful book for all who need, want, or think about medical care for themselves or their family or their children. It's a wonderful book. The book, again, Searching for Health, is available at searchingforhealth.org. I should mention that all of the You, the Owner's Manual podcast, and this is 1040B, you'd think it was our 20th anniversary, but our 20th anniversary occurred at 1020. That's because the show between Christmas and New Year's is always a best of, so we only have 51 new shows a year. In any case, this is our 21st year, and the sponsor in the last several years has been Persona Nutrition. I use Persona for my personalized supplements. You can too. If you want to have some fun, take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. Go to mypersona.com. You get to talk to a dietitian for free to find out what they recommend after you've taken the test if you want it, or to change an order. You don't want X, or you've got Y at home and you want to use it up first. Talk to the nutritionists or dietitians at mypersona.com. Thank you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us. 50,000 of you download us a week, so you can't all be wrong. Hopefully, most of you are right. We try and make it interesting for you. The A segments, the news of the week, and what it means to you. Caitlin, thank you for engineering. Dr. Parakh, thank you for being such an informative guest. The book is excellent, Searching for Health. And especially thank you for downloading us and listening. We'll be back next week with a great set of guests and a wonderful news of the week. See you then through the radio, the podcast, or wherever you listen to us. And by the way, thegreatagereboot.com, the book, The Great Age Reboot, is coming. So I'll tell you more about that in the coming months. In the meantime, thanks very much.